The portion of scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, beginning with the first chapter and the first verse. This is our first lesson for today, this Trinity Sunday. Allow me to recall or to remind your memories of three verses, verses 1 and 2 and then verse 26. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So the words of the Lord. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, the doctrine of the Trinity is one that we will never be able to fully understand in this life. Now we know there is one God, and yet there are three persons in that one God. There is the Father, there is the Son, and there is the Holy Spirit. They are clearly distinct from each other, and yet they share the same essence. They are equal. Not one is better than the other. They are eternal. There is much we could say about the Holy Trinity, and much we don't understand about the Holy Trinity. It gives us a headache just trying to wrap our feeble minds around this truth. So the devil tries to convince us it isn't true. Doesn't make sense. So we should reject it as false. It's just something made up by the early church fathers. And it doesn't have any backing of scripture, the devil tells us. The devil doesn't want us to believe in the triune God because it is faith in the triune God that saves. So he attacks this biblical teaching on every side from many different people using many different methods. But today, so far in our lessons, in our hymns, we have declared the truth that there is only one God, the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three persons, yet one God. It's a teaching that is found throughout Scripture, even in places like our text for today, that doesn't seem to be explicitly teaching the Trinity. So today we see in the first inspired words ever recorded that there are three persons in one God, and all three are active in creation and active in our salvation. Not only does the devil try to get us by attacking the doctrine of the Trinity, he also attacks the doctrine of creation, that God created the world in 6 days. He spouts out evolution. Using reason and so-called science, he pushes his agenda. Evolution may seem innocent to some people, but in the end, evolution denies the very basics of Christianity. Think about evolution for just 1 second. If evolution is true, then God lied to us about creation, and not just about creation, and not just in the book of Genesis. Creation is found throughout the Scriptures. But if God lied to us about how the world was created, then God can lie to us about everything else. Now, evolution says that there is no God. Now the world changed over millions upon millions of years, and that evolved from different life forms, and we came from different animals. That means that we don't have a soul. Which really isn't that big of a deal, because there is no God, and if there is no God, there is no Son of God. If there is no God, there is no heaven or hell where God lives in heaven. If there is no God, then there is no sin, because there is no laws to sin against. So evolution denies the very basics of the Christian faith. You cannot hold on to evolution and be a Christian at the same time. That's why the devil attacks biblical creation and espouses evolution so vigorously. But today, we see that God did create the world. The Bible starts off, only the Bible can start off, at the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It doesn't get any simpler than that. God the Father created the earth, the whole world, out of nothing. By just His word, the world came to be. In just 6 days, not in just six regular days, 24-hour periods, there's evening and there was morning, one day. Not millions of years. The world didn't change over a long course of time. But God created the world, a mature and sustainable world, in 6 days by just His word. This isn't something we'll be able to prove. It's not something that we can see through science and observation necessarily, but it is something we believe and hold firmly to, which the writer to the Hebrews points out in chapter 11. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. But the world wasn't just created by God the Father. No, He wasn't alone. We see that right away in verse 2. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So the Holy Spirit was also present and active in creation. Now we may not know exactly what the Holy Spirit was doing hovering over the waters. But we do see elsewhere in other portions of Scripture that He was active in creation. For example, in Job 33 we read, "The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life." So here we see that the Holy Spirit is separate from the Father, and yet He is God because He is present and active before the world was ever formed. Now admittedly, our text for today does not mention the Son. And yet we do know that He is also present and active in creation. The rest of the Bible tells us so. After all, Jesus is God. Take, for instance, the first part, the opening verses of the Gospel of John, in which He makes a strong allusion to the first chapter of the Bible. There He's talking about Jesus, and He says, "Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made." And then later on in verse 10 He says, "The world was made through Him." So God the Father created the world, God the Son created the world, and God the Holy Spirit created the world. And yet there are not three creators, but one creator, because they are three in one. We can't possibly understand. We can't possibly fully understand the inner workings of the Holy Trinity. And yet by seeing what the Holy Trinity does for us, we are able to see some of God's characteristics. Because we can't understand Him, we call Him infinite. He is vast, far beyond our understanding and comprehension. Without measure, nothing able to compare Him to anything else. Other characteristics of God that we're able to see through this account in Genesis. Well, we know that He's eternal. Both the Father and the Spirit here in Genesis, Jesus elsewhere, we see that they were before the beginning of the world. They created the world. That means they're eternal. And they'll live forever. They're omnipotent, all-powerful. I can say, "Let there be light," all I want. but a sun isn't going to appear in the sky. I can say, let the seas fill with fish, but nothing's going to happen. But God did, with just His word, the world was created. And He's omniscient, all-knowing. Just think of all the complexities that are involved in making the human body. Or the vastness of our solar system, or the delicacies of all the Earth's ecosystems. With just His word, all of those fell into place with all the rules and regulations already intact. God is omniscient and omnipotent. He's infinite. He is eternal. And that means that He will live forever. He is the creator, and we are the created. We're not eternal. We will die. So the Holy Trinity came up with a plan for our salvation and to make us eternal. Now we who are New Testament believers have the benefit of a progressive revelation. We have the benefit of a more complete doctrine of the Holy Trinity. We have numerous references to the Father being God, the Son being God, the Holy Spirit being God. The Old Testament believers didn't necessarily have enjoy that benefit. The triune God wasn't as clearly portrayed or taught in the Old Testament as it is in the New Testament for us today. And yet, we know that those Old Testament believers did have a sense of multiple persons of the one God. We call them the plurality of persons. And they, over time, God would give them more and more revelation. They could understand, okay, that the Messiah would be God and so on and so forth. But they get a sense of the plurality of persons right away in the book of Genesis. We saw it first when talking about the Spirit of God. And then we saw it again in verse 26. Where God created man. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." Here the persons of the Trinity are talking to themselves. Notice the personal pronoun, "our." If there is just one person, one God, He wouldn't have used that plural pronoun. He would have used "my." But here we have "our." The persons of the Trinity talking among themselves, creating humans in God's own image, in the image of the triune God. But what exactly does that mean? That God created us in His own image and likeness. Sinlessness is at the core of God's image. He made us to be without sin. He made us perfect and holy and pure. He made us perfect, just as He wanted to make us. It means that we knew His will. It means that mankind was created in conformity to God's will and was obedient to His will. But that image of God didn't last long. Now in chapter 3 we read that the devil came in the form of a serpent. He convinced Adam and Eve that God was lying to them. So Adam and Eve doubted God's love, doubted God's word. And that unbelief led them to eat the forbidden fruit, and sin entered the world and death through sin. Man lost the image of God. They no longer perfect and holy and pure like God. They no longer knew His will, and they're no longer able to conform to His will. And as a result, they deserve eternal punishment. I mean, they deserve punishment, not just a slap on the wrist, but eternal damnation. So the triune God came up with a plan in which he would save us. He promised them that plan by promising that one of their descendants would crush Satan's head. And actually, that plan was made far before the world was ever created, before Adam and Eve ever lived in the garden, before they ever fell into sin and needed a Savior, God had a plan to save us. And all three are active in that plan. The plan starts with the Father choosing us. Before the world was ever created, God chose each and every one of you to be His own. He chose you to be saved through faith in His Son. Not because of who you are or what you would do, but strictly out of your grace, out of His grace, that He chose you, a poor, miserable sinner, to be His own child. And now He is carrying out what He had decided in eternity to do, and that is to save you. And then God sent His Son when the time was fully ripe. His Son who came down on this earth and lived on this earth for more than 30 years, and not once did He sin, always keeping God's law perfectly, never once sinning. And yet Jesus found Himself betrayed and arrested and beaten and crowned with thorns and flogged, crucified. It was on that cross that Jesus took our sins upon Himself, that He became guilty of everything we have done wrong and gave us His perfect life. His obedience became ours. Then He rose from the dead and promises that through faith we will live with Him in heaven forever. And faith, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Jesus suffered and died and rose for the whole world. But only those who believe will be saved. The Holy Spirit, He alone gives us faith. And He works through the means of grace alone. That is the gospel and the word, and the gospel and the sacrament, the two sacraments of baptism and communion. It is through the hearing of the word, it is through baptism that He brought you to faith, it is through the word, it is through communion that He strengthens and keeps you in the one true faith. And so He dwells in the hearts of each one of His believers. And through the faith that He gives us, we know that we will live with Him in heaven forever. So the Father chose us and sent His Son. The Son lived a perfect life. He suffered for our sins. He gave us His perfect life. He rose from the dead. The Holy Spirit brings us to faith and keeps us in the one true faith, which receives all the blessings that Christ won for us. All three persons of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are active in our salvation. We cannot be saved without one of them. And they're all motivated by the same love, by the same grace and compassion. Love for us that we will enjoy for eternity. As we will confess in a few short minutes, the doctrine of the Trinity is essential for salvation. That's why the devil attacks the doctrine of the Trinity in a myriad of ways. It doesn't just teach us who God is, but also what He has done. He is the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three persons, yet one God. He is the one who created and sustains the world, who controls the world. And most importantly, He is the one who saves the world when the world rebels. The one who chose, the one who gave up His life only to rise again, and the one who brings us to faith. So today we celebrate the truth of the triune God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons, yet one God. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of this triune God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. On this Trinity Sunday,